listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it, I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 200 stations. It's 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. We got an action-packed hour on Thursday. And do we? I mean, we could do a couple shows. And I'll tell you this. If there wasn't a Straight Out of Vegas, you would have to invent it for a day like today. Why? Because if you look at this Golden State-Houston series, there's all these opinions going around. But it's really about the numbers. How much is Durant worth? How good of a chance does Golden State have to win a game 7 if it happens, etc.? We literally are going to have those answers for you right now. Who's going to give them? The pros who know. Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise. We will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A., and he's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, and we start on Straight Out of Vegas here with the NBA playoffs and, of course, the Golden State Warriors, who took care of the Houston Rockets 104-99 last night. Golden State now leads the series 3-2, but will be without Kevin Durant for the remainder of the series with a mild calf strain. They're going to reevaluate him next week.
Is that you, like, kind of giving a knock to Durant, saying mild? Like, get on the floor.
Yeah, if you're going to go down.
Take it up. Rub some dirt in it.
If I were him, I'd pay off the doctors to say severe calf strain. You know, do something just to kind of modify it, make it seem a little bit more manly. You know what I mean?
You're saying you're just reading the facts.
Yes, that's it. That's all I'm
doing. You're like Joe Friday. Listen, one of the things we do better than anyone, I'll say it, is those numbers, is that quantification. But we can't forget, we all chose this business. Fez, you graduated from Northwestern University, and until the charges around your admission, until all that indictment and stuff is resolved, we're going to say you deserve to go there. We're going to say that you got your degree, and it was all on the up and up. Is that fair?
Statute of limitations. That's fair.
Exactly. This is a guy that was a vice president in his early 30s, right?
Yep.
For a big actuarial firm in L.A. That'd be funny seeing Fez in L.A. in his 30s. You chose Vegas, right? I chose Vegas. Brad, now Brad's options weren't quite as grand, but still, he chose Vegas. We love sports. We love gambling. Let's take a minute and appreciate Golden State for being a champion. Because if you're a fan of that team, you know, I'm a Steelers fan. Super Bowl 14, Vince Ferragamo, the Rams. I was 9 years old. I remember it. In a way, the fact that Pittsburgh was limping to the finish line of their dynasty and still won, I can remember the Bradshaw play and the over-the-shoulder catch. And it makes it even better. It's like, yeah, we won. It's almost like Ali when he was beating guys like, you know, Ken Norton in 75, 76. Whatever it took for Ali to win those fights was very different than the skill set that Ali showed against Cleveland Williams pre his, I guess, absence from the sport is a fair way to say it, with his legal trouble. He was probably the greatest heavyweight of all time pre his absence. After, in the 70s, if you hit your 30s as a fighter, 33, 34, it was a drop-off, right? We didn't have all the organic berries and such that you eat, Fez. But what we saw from Ali after his absence was even maybe in some ways more impressive because it was so God-given what he had before. What he had after was guts. Golden State's got guts because if there's any time during this run where you got this Houston team that's been stalking you, I mean, you got Daryl Morey, who is a, you know, genius, borderline genius of basketball, saying our only goal, what I spend my days thinking about is how to beat Golden State. And then in game five, you lose your best player with 14 minutes left in the game. And it's almost a tie game. It's a tie game going into the fourth quarter. That's gutsy. So let's take a second with that. Any thoughts? Anyone got any feelings about it?
No, I think Golden State showed obviously a heart of a champion there. How many times do we see this when a key player gets hurt and the air out of the entire arena goes out of the balloon? That wasn't the case with Golden State. They rallied. Steph stepped up to the plate. Obviously, Draymond did. Kudos to them. I mean, if I was a fan of the Warriors, and I'm not, I'd feel better about my team, what I've been witnessing the last 4 or 5 years, than at any point during this run right now.
And that's interesting because in the next segment, we'll be talking about the aftermath of the Celtics season. There's a lot of famous Celtic fans, Bill Simmons, talking about the Celtics, you know, pretty much every week during the season. And Ryan Russillo's on his podcast now. And he said recently, Russillo, I think it was, I just don't like this team. I don't like this Celtics team. They won a lot of games. They were one of the best eight teams. But I'd rather have a team that I like. What makes me like a team? Well, you know, might be different than what makes you like a team. But we all got the things we like in a team. And Golden State's won a lot, but boy, if you like the heart of a champion, if you like guts, even though this Golden State team probably isn't as good as some of the prior versions, they've shown you some guts here. I'm not sure we knew they had, because you could make the case there was only one. Well, I was going to say there's been two forks in the road during these wins, right? When they were up 3-1 against LeBron, and they lost that second season, you'd say that's a real negative for the heart, the guts. But then when they're down against Houston last year, 3-2, winning two in a row is gutsy. So they've really only had, correct me if I'm wrong, I guess they had that OKC series early that they were down. So, and they won that one. Yeah. So, yeah, in a weird way, when you win as easily as Golden State's won most of these series, it's almost like you're not being challenged. But in hindsight, they have been challenged and obviously stepped up last night. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, recapping and talking about the Vegas reaction to Durant being out. Okay, Fez, let's talk math, okay? The line's out for the next game. Houston at home, game six. Now, this is going to surprise you guys, I think, or at least it's going to be an eye popper. Golden State is a 7-point underdog in game six. This series hasn't had one game decided by six or more than 6 points, right?
Correct.
And the line's 7. So that means Fez is going to have a lock on Houston for sure. Well, I'm predicting it. But it really does strike me, what would the line have been? And I'm going to guess, because I think this feels like game three. Game three was a must win for Houston.
Houston down 0-2.
At home.
Yep.
This is an elimination game, right? By its very definition, a must win if you want to continue your season. Line was 3.5 in game three?
Yep.
Line 7 here?
Correct.
Okay, let me see. That's saying Durant is worth 3.5 points.
Easy math.
Now, hey, don't diminish me there. Is LeBron And even last, let's say 2 years ago, not the most this season, but the season before, worth what, about 6 points?
Yeah, six.
Michael Jordan in his prime, about 6 points?
Yeah, six has pretty much been the maximum.
The max. Only 3.5, except we're hearing all this talk about Durant's the best player in the NBA. Explain.
Because Durant could well be the best or one of the top three players in the NBA, but his fit with Golden State is actually not as ideal as Durant would be for other teams. He doesn't help Golden State as much as he would help another team.
Why not?
It's because his fit with some of the other players, specifically with Curry, those two just don't play as well together as they do when they just take over the games singleton.
Singleton. All right. I think I'm going to do a variation on what you said. I think Curry's able to fit very well with Durant, but I think that version of Curry is not using all of Curry's abilities. And here's my analogy. It's dating me a little bit as a child of the 80s. Joe Montana had Steve Young as a backup. Joe Montana... Many thought at the time, I think the majority opinion was best quarterback of all time. They retired. And Steve Young is in the Hall of Fame as a quarterback. But if Steve Young's sitting on the sidelines with a clipboard, he's worthless until he steps on the field. So in a way, if Montana's healthy, Steve Young is worthless. But you've got depth. There's depth for the skill set you need a quarterback. But Curry's not on the bench. So let's extend the analogy. Imagine Steve Young plays halfback. Steve Young would have been a heck of a... I mean, in his youth, think about him as a halfback. And that halfback option rolling left, come on. He would have been above replacement. He would have been a valuable halfback. But him, Steve Young at halfback, would have only been a fraction of his ability. But that other ability wasn't necessary or even useful as long as Montana was okay, healthy and playing. Now, when Durant's on the floor, he's Montana. Curry in his current guise, the way he's playing with Durant, is like Steve Young at halfback. He's good. He's, you know, borderline great. But he's not using all of his skills because those skills overlap with Durant. You can only have one focal point of the team. But here's the thing. When Durant's out, just like if Montana was out, Steve Young steps into that role and the drop-off isn't all that much. Meaning, how much better is Durant as the alpha dog than Curry? I think somewhat... But then you could make the case that Curry fits the rest of the Golden State team better. The kind of style of ball they want to play, a lot of motion, as opposed to the focus being so much on Durant. And we've got numbers to back this up. And I'm going to tell you something. These are some of the most shocking numbers I've ever seen. Durant on Golden State the last 3 years. Durant out, not playing with Golden State. The difference or lack thereof is going to be shocking. When we come back, we'll talk about that and we'll discuss game six and look ahead. What would the line be in game seven with these two with Durant out?
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a moment, we've got some surprising numbers regarding one of the best players on the planet.
Yeah, surprising with Durant and OKC and Golden State. Maybe a lot like OKC in a way, though. Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 71 degrees. The Astrodome used to be 72. It's 71 on the strip. Neon is flowing.
Guys, we've talked about the Warriors beating the Houston Rockets in Game 5 last night to take a 3-2 series lead. The story coming out of that game is Kevin Durant's status moving forward. He'll be reevaluated in a week with a mild calf strain. So, RJ, you guys actually have some numbers with and without Durant regarding the Warriors, and they're surprising.
It really is an eye-popper. So, in our first segment, 6 o'clock Eastern every weekday, straight out of Vegas, we spent a few minutes being fans. Gutsy, heart of a champion. The quote, Brad's cliche. Is that fair to say, Brad?
Yeah.
It seemed like you had that. You were excited about getting that one out.
Really?
Did.
No.
And I think it's justified. What a comeback. What a win. Also, the idea Durant, maybe the best player in the league, certainly top handful. But the idea that Steph Curry has an ability to be the alpha, to be the number one. And you might think, well, wait a minute. If you got two number ones, how great is that? Well, we've seen, and we'll talk Boston Celtics next, it's not great. You need a number one. You need a number two. I think Steph has done a great job and an admirable job of becoming. He was a champion. Think about it. Steph is number one. Won the most games in the history of the freaking NBA. Not Russell, not Wilt. Go down, not Michael. It was Curry as number one with Durant nowhere to be found. And then to go in and say, I'll be a number two. And historically, we might look back and say that decision, his focus on team and winning, is what allowed this Golden State dynasty to be established. Because I'm not sure that team would have been a dynasty without Durant.
How many MVPs in the league are willing to become a number two on their team, RJ?
And some people might say it's damning, that you should want to be number one. Well, maybe, but boy, you got a lot of rings. Right, so Curry, we believe, has the ability to become number one. He's got a skill set that's not being used right now. Here's the numbers to back it up. 3 years with Durant in Golden State. 40 games Durant has missed. 30-10 straight up Golden State in those games. 30-10, won 30 of the 40 games. Now, that's 75%. In the games without or with Durant, so without Durant, 75%. With Durant, 74.9%. That's absolutely true. Ha ha. We can have some fun and say, Golden State's better without Durant. And we're think about 40 games. 40 games is half of an NBA season. That's not nothing. That's a double negative, so it means it's something. And I think it proves the point. When Durant, it's not that Durant's no good. It's that his skill set can be replicated. Durant's skill set can be replicated by Curry. Curry can be the alpha, the number one. And though Curry probably is a smidge the lesser number one, his fit with the rest of the Golden State team probably is a smidge, if not more, better. And that's why this is pretty much the same team, quality-wise, without Durant, which is hard to imagine. Now, the line isn't saying that. The line's been adjusted. If Durant were playing Houston at home in Game 6, would be about a 3.5-point favorite. Houston is a 7-point favorite. So, Steve Fezzik, who joins me, RJ Bowe, straight out of Vegas, Golden State aftermath, Durant's absence. If we believe the 30-10, if we believe 40 games tells us 75% win percentage for Golden State without Durant, which is better than with Durant, then we got to make one of our biggest bets of the year on Golden State. An equal team that should only be getting 3.5 along this theory, getting 7. Why won't you if you won't?
Because Golden State is woefully thin. And so losing either Durant or Curry is a huge deal right now. Look at the minutes, and you basically championed this, RJ. The Golden State team, all of their starting five are playing 5 to 8 more minutes during the playoffs than they were during the regular season. So these guys, Klay Thompson, Green.
Well, just to be clear, not during the playoffs, in the Houston series.
Right, in this series. They didn't
and
do
remember,
it against the Clippers.
Game five only had a 1 day off between 4 and 5. 1 day off between 5 and 6, 1 day off between 6 and 7.
Right, so no chance for these guys to get their legs back. So if they're playing all these minutes, and all of a sudden everyone has to step it up with Durant out, well, can we look to the bench? No, we can't look to the bench because that's the huge weakness of this Golden State team. Just this year, you're going to rely on Livingston, Looney, and Jericho? I don't think so. The bench was better last year.
Okay, that is a good tease to tomorrow. What we're going to do, have the pregame.com research team say, okay, we've got 3 years. Durant, when he's absent from Golden State, 75% wins straight up for Golden State. Now, Cousins being out this season is what we currently have. There's been a decent number of absences for Durant this season with Cousins out, meaning the bench being that thin. We'll see what the win, and obviously it's going to be a smaller number. We'll research it, see what that win percentage is. But you're making an interesting point. The problem isn't at the top. You're saying Curry slides in to be the alpha. Not much of a drop off, if any. But now the number 6 guy becomes the number 5 guy. 7 becomes 6. And 8, who hasn't hardly played, becomes 7.
Correct.
Okay, that is what this comes down to. Last thing on Golden State, straight out of Vegas. The series price. Entering this series, Golden State was minus 250 to win. 250 wins you 100. Right now, Golden State is minus 200 to win.
Wow. Shocker, right?
Which still implies about 66% of the time, about.
Yeah, just under.
Golden State wins. And Houston wins a third of the time, 33. But it is the case that Houston's chance to win this series, to advance, is better today, down 3-2, than it was entering the series even. And oh, by the way, if it comes to a game 7, all things equal, no injuries, additionally, no injuries, Golden State would be what?
-1.
Oh, imagine a game 7. That's near a pick'em. Wowza. That would be exciting. Brad, 60 seconds. You want to be like kind of get off my lawn. Now, you're the youngster here in your mid-30s. You probably, though, have an older soul,
yeah,
I would say.
That's fair.
Or grumpier.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Brad Powers grew up on a farm. That's fair to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Harden. I mean, this is old school talk radio. You're going to do a variation of how can he take a shot? So we'll let you.
Well, here's the numbers. First, Harden in one of the most important games of his entire life, an opportunity to take advantage, take control of this series with Kevin Durant out, final 8.5 minutes. James Harden, the leading scorer in the NBA this season by 5 points per game, more than anybody else, takes one shot in one of the biggest games of his life. I don't get it. I just don't, RJ. Take the shot. Step up.
If
the
they were paying, if they were paying you tens of millions, you'd be shooting.
Heck yeah. I mean, when Fez is out, I step up to the plate.
We found out yesterday on the podcast. By the way, you can get the podcast for Straight Out of Vegas. Just search for RJ Bell on your favorite pod player. You will also see our dream preview. Wildly successful. You can subscribe. It's a deep dive. We did 2.5 hours. I was in a coma after 2.5 hours yesterday. On that weekly pod, deep diving the NBA. And by the way, Brad, you don't just say this as the third chair on a national radio show here in Vegas, because Jonas is probably ahead. So you're like the fourth chair.
Yeah, fourth.
Is you say this as a grade school free throw champion in Cuyahoga County, right?
Not Cuyahoga County, but somewhere in Ohio, yeah.
And what grade were you in?
I was sixth grade.
And how many free throws in a row did you make?
34.
So wow. Take that. Listen, if you question Brad's bona fides, now you know. In just 1 minute, we're going to tell you the odds. You can bet on it. Where is Kyrie playing next year?
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
We know Kevin Durant won't be playing anymore in the Rockets series. The Warriors announced today, confirming the results of an MRI right calf strain for Kevin Durant. He'll be re-evaluated next week, so he's out tomorrow against the Rockets in Game 6, and if necessary, would miss a Game 7 on Sunday. Lakers reportedly interviewing Frank Vogel for their head coaching vacancy. That's according to the LA Times. It's been a busy day in the NFL. The Seahawks today released safety Cam Chancellor and wide receiver Doug Baldwin with failed physical designations, while Jaguars linebacker Telvin Smith announced that he won't be playing football in the 2019 season. The Jaguars released a statement saying they won't comment on Smith's announcement, adding the need to have a conversation with Smith to understand the situation and circumstances. Tight end Benjamin Watson unretiring. He is signing with the Patriots. Day baseball, they were cut short in Cleveland because of rain, but the Indians end up winning 5-0. Angels blank the Tigers 13-0 as Albert Pujols collects career RBI 2000. Cubs down the Marlins 4-1. Reds blank the A's 3-0. Rockies lead the Giants in the eighth inning 11-8. In golf, Denny McCarthy has the lead at the AT&T. Byron Nelson at 8-under par. Brooks Koepka 2-back. Jordan Spieth is 5-back at 3-under as he plays his final hole of the day. And Tony Romo playing on a sponsor's exemption. Currently 2-over par through 13 holes and 10-back the lead. Romo, the former quarterback turned broadcaster and now amateur golfer, currently in a tie for 128th. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 15 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a look ahead at a doubleheader in the NBA playoffs later on tonight. I am Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, this Tony Romo playing in his golf tournament, he was offered at 10,000-1 here in Vegas to win this tournament. A dollar wins you 10,000. Fezzik had a better chance to win that tournament. It would have been some type of Ted DiBiase, you know, buying the championship, right?
Love it, yeah.
I mean, I'm not exactly sure how it would happen, but the most bet golfer, the golfer that had the most bets on him was Tony Romo at 10,000-1. So whenever people tell me, you know, I think bettors are getting smarter, nope, they're not.
Guys, we go to the Eastern Conference now, where the Milwaukee Bucks are on to the Eastern Conference Finals after they take care of the Boston Celtics last night, 116-91. So, RJ, the question now becomes, what happens to the Celtics and Kyrie Irving moving forward?
First off, what we know is Brad Powers lost. We did a little auction, I guess you'd call it. You took the Celtics. Fez took Milwaukee, I took Toronto. Fez is looking good. I'm alive. Brad isn't. Any thoughts?
Yeah, deal. Have your money when whoever wins that Raptors-Bucks series. And I already had to pay Fez because I doubled down after game one. I was so confident. Celtics beat Milwaukee game one. I got this one. No chance Fez has. 4 straight wins for Milwaukee. I'm paying Fez.
Here's my takeaway. And Mike Lombardi, friend of the show, talks about this, former NFL exec. Talent acquisition. Like you're playing fantasy. Like you're acquiring a dream team versus building a team. We all can get excited by talent, right? Because the simple analysis, now listen, if you ask Freddie Fanny Pack what's 2 + 2, he's going to say 4. You ask Fezzik, Northwestern grad, actuary, math whiz, he's going to say 4. Doesn't mean the obvious answer is wrong. But if you do ask Freddie Fanny Pack, the square, the recreational batter, he entered this season saying, look how good Boston was. In fact, Brad has a friend he brings around the show sometimes. His name's Haystack Hank. Now, Haystack, he's a country boy, might be the way to say it. Brad, why don't you tell me how Haystack would have handicapped Boston entering the season?
As Brad, or hey, we're welcoming Haystack.
Haystack's here in the green room. Have him comment.
Get in here, Hank.
All right, do it. Is it, yeah, Haystack Hank?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, well, thanks for having me on the Straight Out of Vegas show. I was sleeping on a hay bale the last couple of months here now. But I'll tell you, Boston Celtics last year went to Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward. Now they get both those guys back. They got the best coach in the NBA or some think. So, and those two players entered the lineup. No LeBron. Oh, my goodness. Celtics easily. I mean, easy favorites in the Eastern Conference Finals. In fact, I think they got a good shot beating Golden State this year.
Now, what's amazing about Haystack, he'll rush in like Hacksaw Jim Dugan, and he'll grab the mic, say it, and then he walks out, and he actually has that theme music on a boombox. So he's got like his traveling theme music with him. But you're right. Haystack Hank, Freddie Fanny Pack, they all would have said, let's be honest, Fez, pretty close to what you said about Boston entering the year.
Absolutely, and Boston was lined at 59 games. And not only
all right, so let's be clear what that means. Explain it.
So the season win number for the Boston Celtics entering the season was 59.
Regular season wins.
That was the highest total throughout the Eastern Conference.
Right.
And this is a team, RJ, not only were they getting Kyrie back and Hayward back, but we expected all that talent, Tatum, you know, scary Terry Rozier, all these guys, Marcus Smart, are going to get better as well. This team, many felt, had a chance to really become the beast of the East.
They didn't. If you just had a spreadsheet saying how good is this player above replacement, Boston was better this year. As a team, not better. And I think that if we think as batters, as sports fans, about market inefficiencies, what are people getting wrong? That's what they're getting wrong. A lot is they're adding up, they're summing the talent instead of thinking about the team ramifications. And if you think about the great teams of the last decade, plus in some cases, in both these cases, the Patriots in the NFL, always more than the sum of their parts. San Antonio Spurs in the NBA, always more than the sum of the parts. And I would make the case, Golden State's been a lot of talent, but boy, they played well together in addition to that. And when you have a team, and I would make the case Boston's like this, I'll make the case, and we're going to be talking about in a few minutes, the 76ers, a lot of talent. How much team do you have there? RJ Bell with you straight out of Vegas. Last thing, well, we got two last things quickly on this Boston aftermath. We're going to have a lot of time to talk about Milwaukee. Let's talk about the Kyrie Irving odds. You can bet right now where Kyrie's going to play next year. Let's look at the numbers.
Yeah, breaking news, RJ. The Knicks are now the favorite to get Kyrie next year. Knicks are now 2-1 where Kyrie will play in the 2019 and 20 season. Nets next up, 3-1. Celtics now plus 325. And then you got the two LA teams, the Lakers 5-1 and the Clippers 8-1.
Okay, so the two New York teams, 1-2.
Yep.
Then Celtics, then the two LA teams.
Yep.
And if you do the math, just back in the napkin, odds of going back to Boston for Kyrie?
At 20-25%.
All right, so possible, not likely. Last thing, we'll have a lot of time to talk about this. Steve Fezzik, what kind of reevaluation must we do with Brad Stevens? Literally a year ago, the debate would have been, is he the best coach in the NBA or is he the second best? Is Popovich still the best? That beard makes him look old. Doesn't seem quite as sharp. He looks a little sleepy, logy. That was the conversation. Where's your head at? What level of culpability, of blame, does Brad Stevens have?
Well, I'm going to blame Kyrie more, but we can't leave Stevens unscathed here. We got to downgrade him from a top five NBA coach. Because let's face it, he had a bad year. He himself said, you know what, guys? I just did a poor job with the talent that I had. And I agree with that. This team massively underachieved.
And it shows you the different skill sets you need as an NBA coach. He almost had a college team last year. Everyone, or most on rookie deals, everyone wanting to play together. Then you get in Kyrie with that oversized ego. And then you think about Hayward with the $100+ million, the injury, and all the sunk costs associated with that. Navigating that did not prove to be Stevens' strong suit. But the guy's not even 40 years old. The idea that Stevens is going to be the best when other elite talent, coaching-wise, have decades more experience, I think that's unrealistic. It's kind of healthy to see, hey, this guy's got something to learn. My guess would be in 15 years, when Stevens is like 51 or 52, he'll still be younger than you, Fez. He will have this figured out.
I agree with that. And let's face it, when things are going badly for a team and you have a really young coach, oftentimes the team can go ahead and zone out the coach.
When we come back, two games tonight, we're going to tell you exactly what you need to watch him or bet him.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted, and it's money-making time here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We've got another doubleheader in the NBA playoffs tipping off a little over an hour from now, 8 p.m. Eastern time from Philadelphia. It's the Raptors at the 76ers. Toronto is a 1.5-point favorite on pregame.com.
I got to tell you, Fezzik, you like this game. You bet this game. And this is one of my favorite bets of the month. We'll give a little extra theme for it.
Whoa, make me rich, whatever you can drop that stuff.
Give us your pick, Fez.
Yeah, I like Philadelphia, and it's all about line value here. Let's go back to Sunday, game four. Philly was -2.5 against Toronto.
All right, now let's think about this. Game four is analogous because home game, Philadelphia motivated. Now game six, home game, Philadelphia max motivated in theory. So game four, the line was
Philly -2.5. Now game six, 4-point line move. Philly is catching +1.5, RJ. So why the huge line move?
4 points.
Why has there been this huge line move? Has there been a big injury? Has something been going on? No, there hasn't been injuries. What has happened is Embiid has played two lousy games in a row, games 4 and 5, because he was sick in both games.
Hold on. We don't know why. Right. But I think it's fair to say there's a heck of a chance that it was driven by his health. Now, Embiid's health, his knee, chronic, lingering. It seems to flare up. Because remember, before this flu or his belly hurting or whatever's going on, Embiid's health was still a part of the conversation, right?
No doubt.
Which was his knee.
Yes.
So you got his knee. In addition, some type of flu. Here's what we know about the flu. It gets better, right? Pretty much on schedule. And professional athletes, because they are such specimens, and they do have the best medical attention, fluids, echinacea, whatever's going on, he's getting the best treatment. Embiid, it's 4 days now from when he called his coach or texted at 6 a.m. saying, I don't feel so good. 4 days is a long time. You would think Embiid's flu-like symptoms have improved significantly.
You would think so. We don't know if he's fully better, but I certainly think there's a real good chance that he's at least improved. And frankly, this line, RJ, is saying, wow, we don't expect Embiid to be improved at all.
Here's the question. So the line, again, is Philly +1.5. At home.
Correct.
This series is on serve. I mean, this is Toronto's won the number of home games that they've played, though it wasn't all the home games. Philly's won their home games. That's called on serve.
Right where we expected
Philly,
it to be.
If they win here, it's game 7 in Toronto. I know all the overreaction to this, and the idea of a home team getting points in this spot, what would the line be if Embiid was out? If Embiid was in L.A. hanging out, watching movies, what would the line be here?
Philly would be a two-point underdog.
So literally, we're assuming we're getting nothing from Embiid. If we get anything from Embiid, that's the value in your pick.
Correct.
Good stuff, Fezzik.
Guys, game six between the Nuggets and the Trailblazers is later on at 10:30 Eastern time. Denver leading the series 3-2. Portland, a 3.5-point favorite in this one.
All right, we have a lean here. Go fast.
Yeah, I lean to Denver, and it's all about Denver's center. Jokic dominating at center. It's a mismatch because Portland is so weak right now at center. Their starting center, Nurkic, is out. And, of course, their backup center, Kanter, has two issues. One is he has an aggravated separated shoulder that he has re-separated, and he's also having to fast from sunrise to sunset, and he was compromised in games 4 and 5. I don't know if it's shoulder. I don't know if it's the fast that's causing Kanter to not play as well, RJ, or a combination, but Kanter's been a shell of himself the last two games. I don't see it changing.
So lean
to the underdog, Denver, +3.5.
Okay. When the Joker's on the floor this series, Denver has won by 66 points. When Joker's not on the floor, Denver's lost by 38 points. The Joker is the key to this series, and against Kanter being hindered, he's been super effective.
If you missed the best bet on the Raptors and the 76ers, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.